You've already heard a lot from me today, but if you'll give me just a few minutes, give me 20 minutes, somebody put a clock on me, and I'll move very quickly today to get you an opportunity to sign up for small groups. But I want to take one more opportunity, one more brick, if you will, in our deep series. This concludes today, but I want to talk to you about deeper relationships. Deeper relationships, certainly in context and connection to our small groups. We've had a wonderful few weeks. Did you enjoy Pastor Shelley Hendricks that was with us two Sundays ago, and then Pastor Tony Suarez that was with us last Sunday? Just fantastic spiritual things that were happening in the house, and we're grateful for all of those. I've heard testimony even this morning of miracles that happened in people's lives. Doctor confirmed miracles that took place here this past Sunday. We're thankful for some knee deep, some waist deep, some water deep enough to swim in around the church, and we want you to be a part of that. But today I get the privilege of helping you navigate some of the details. It's fun when there is a shout. It's fun when there is excitement and hype and joy. But then we have to process some of that, and we have to see what that looks like in our everyday lives. So I want to talk to you about going deep in our relationships. We probably today need to redefine what a relationship is. I know that's weird, but in 2019, we need a redefinition. We need a redefining of what relationships are, what healthy relationships look like in 2019. And here's a spoiler alert. They're not likes on Instagram, and they're not friend requests on Facebook. They're just not. Relationships are so much more than that. In fact, I read an article this last week. In 2017, Forbes reported that one in four millennials would quit their jobs to become famous. 30% would rather become famous than be a doctor or a lawyer. One in 10 would choose fame over a college degree. If you ask most middle schoolers what they want to be, their answer would be YouTuber. Increasingly, young adults would trade money, possessions, and health for fame in a hip urban center. On top of that, young people are leaving the suburbs in droves for a few large urban centers like LA, New York, Nashville, San Francisco, and Raleigh, North Carolina. Young people are flocking to the cities while the most, flocking to cities with the most culture, best craft coffee and beer, and the most opportunity for fame, most often without any plan for how to achieve that kind of life. So where does this pull come from? The draw has never been more in the foreground than it is right now. With our iPhones in our hands and demanding our attention, we're an Instagram post or a YouTube video away from some of the most beautiful places in the world and the best of our country's culture. With filtered photos, the article said, and unfiltered access to the images of the good life that we could be living, it makes sense that we would want to be a part of it. When we see someone our age drinking craft beer at a hip bar in a cool city, they seem, emphasis mine, they seem immune to the worries that we live with every day. The lure of the hip urban lifestyle promises us ease. It promises us cool socialite status and an escape from our anxiety. If only I had more followers. If only people would like me. If only I could climb breathtaking mountains and adventure the exotic locations. I wouldn't be depressed. No, we've bought into the Instagram industrial complex hook, line, and sinker. In a secular age, our city is our temple, our social media feeds are our prayers, and tweetable politics is our religious devotion. Young people are leaving their hometowns in search of their best life now. The prosperity gospel is no longer houses, cars, money, and health. The new prosperity gospel is a hip city and a follower count that ends with a K. It was an eye-opening article. I read that article, and then I was in Houston a few days this week with my mother's surgery and caught a 6 a.m. flight on Friday to get back for Mr. Alfred Cook's wife Josie's funeral, and then ran home to get out of my suit and change clothes and go to Atlanta for a hospital visit. And when that hospital visit concluded, I hadn't had lunch or breakfast. I was starving, and so I went to a restaurant there next door to the hospital, and it was about an hour wait to get a table. I was by myself, and so I wanted to do something a little quicker than that. I took a seat at the bar and was going to order my food, and while I'm sitting there, I'm always fascinated to hear other people's conversation, and I'm not eavesdropping. They're just talking too loud. But there was a gentleman and a young lady sitting beside my right hand, and I wasn't even hearing anything they were saying until I heard her say, "I hope my mugshot is expunged before I become famous." I had just read this article and knew what I would be preaching today, and so my interest was piqued. I hope my mugshot is expunged before I become famous. I finally was able to steal a glance. This was not a kid. This was not a child. This was not someone who would be automatically counted immature simply because of her age. But the more she told this story, as her friend was trying to ask for details and why were you arrested and what was going on, and she said, "Well, it was the Saturday night before Easter," and she said, "I was supposed to sing at my daddy's church on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, and I'm in jail, and they're taking my mugshot, and my dad is looking for me on Sunday morning," and all while she's telling that, it's every other word is F this, and you know, just holler and cuss words, and man, everything inside of me wanted to say, "Folks, I would be willing to buy your dinner if you would let me talk to you for just a moment." But I didn't. Because that's the reality of relationships in 2019. These sweet young people and many other people that, I'm not capping on the young today because it's pervasive in our culture. The reason that they're in crisis is because they are not in real relationships. They're not in spiritual community where someone can tell them the truth. That's why we like it. We like it. We like living in a social media driven culture because no one will tell you. Do you realize there is a like button on Facebook, but there is not a dislike button? Because we don't want to hear from you if you don't like it. We don't want to know what your opinion is. And most people now post their status and say, "If you disagree with what I'm posting, I will delete your comment." Because no one wants to be disagreed with. No one wants to be pushed back on. No one wants to be told that whatever attitude they are espousing, while it is their right to have that attitude, no one wants to hear that just possibly, just maybe on some random day out of the week, their opinion could be wrong. We're not in real relationships. And before you pull a muscle nodding your head, know that the younger generation has only taken what we've allowed to their own extreme. They're our kids. We keep cracking on millennials, but do you realize the oldest millennials right now are 40 years old? They're not the kids anymore. They're not the young. Everyone that running around teeny bop, we keep calling that. That's not even millennials anymore. That's a new generation. And where you have to really deal is the boomers just ahead of them. I mean, it's a whole deal. It's a whole deal. We're not in real relationships. It's amazing how many people have informed me. Using that word on purpose, inform me of their major life choice. I'm moving here. I'm doing this. I'm going there. Hey, have you talked to anyone about this? No. And then after they inform me that they're doing this major life choice, they get on social media and say, I want to thank Pastor Darrell. I wouldn't have been able to make it without him. Well, you just did. You didn't involve me in the decision. You didn't get advice from a spiritual covering or a pastor or a coach-like figure in your life. Why? Because we want everything to appear a certain way in social media, but we don't want the real relationship where someone has the power to tell us that's not a good idea. That's not a good choice. We need deeper relationships. Deeper relationships. This isn't a youth and young adult crisis only. It's pervasive. So how do we fix this? How do we get better? How do we go after deeper relationships, and what are they? Let me tell you a little bit about what deeper relationships are. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. Verse 12, the land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. So God creates everything that it would reproduce after its own kind. It's the law of first mention. It's the law of first things. He's establishing the order. And I didn't come to preach about vegetation, but when the Lord saw that and saw that it was good, he said, now let me graduate to people. I created vegetation and plants to reproduce after their own kind. Now I'm going to create people. Genesis 1, verses 26, 7, and 8. Then God said, let us make man, human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. It's not a biology lesson today, but an understanding about relationships. All relationships should reproduce. Huh? Are you talking literally about children or us having children? Or maybe I was never able to have kids, or maybe we made a decision as a family not to have children. No, I'm not getting into those details today. He said healthy relationships are supposed to produce something. That tells me that healthy churches are supposed to reproduce. Supposed to reproduce our relationships, our connections to one another, getting involved in small groups with one another. It's supposed to reproduce people, other people like me, like you. We need to be expecting as a church. It's a boy. No cigars, please. It's a girl. This is exciting. Another man was baptized. Another woman went down in the name of the Lord. Someone else has said yes to you. What's going on? We're in a healthy relationship and we are reproducing after our own kind. So if our church is diverse, we're going to keep reproducing diverse people. People with that desire. If our church is generous, we're going to keep reproducing generous people. If our church is kind, we're going to keep reproducing kind people. We're reproducing after our own kind. So let me give you some truths today as I hurry along in this message. Relationships are spiritual. They're spiritual. Whether it is your spouse relationship, your family relationship, your work relationships, your church relationships, or just your casual relationships, all of the relationships in your life are spiritual. You say, but wait a minute, Pastor Darrell, I've got a boss. I don't like him at all. He's a boss. I get that. But it's a spiritual thing in your life. Being able to submit to authority, being able to respect authority, being able to hear a no from someone and actually following that directive, it's all spiritual. Every single relationship in your life, whether it's one you value or whether it's one you really don't like very much at all of our relationships are spiritual. And the sooner we see them that way, as soon as we look at the person at work that we do not get along with and say, you know what, this is spiritual. Either the devil has possessed that woman over there, either the enemy has placed her right square beside me in the workplace to get on my last. Even if that's the case, I still have to see it as spiritual to know I'm not going to allow that, her, them, they, to get my blessing. Because relationships are spiritual. If I'm fighting everybody at work, if we throw in hands, something is not right. Relationships are spiritual. Let me tell you something else. Relationships have lasting impact. Relationships have lasting impact. The reproductive value makes them important. The fact that we are producing something, our relationship is going somewhere. It's becoming something more. Someone said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Have you ever heard that before? Show me the five people that you spend the most time with, and I can predict a whole lot of things about your future and the coming months and years of your life, because who you listen to, who has the most influence in your life, those are the people you're going to emulate and become more like. So relationships have a lasting impact, lasting in both positive and negative ways. That means that we have to choose carefully. That means we have to choose wisely. I don't have the theological time this morning, but a pastor in my life, J.T. Pugh, used to talk about spirit prints. Spirit, like we have fingerprints. I can touch this today, and if there was a crime later in this building, they could come and spray that stuff or put that dust, and they could find my fingerprint right there because I've left a fingerprint behind. We leave millions of them in our lives, but our spirits also leave prints. What do you mean? What's the example? Have you ever walked in a room? We call it vibe now and then. We walk in a room and we just don't like the vibe. Something just doesn't feel right. There's something off in the room. What is that? Spirit prints have been left behind. And we don't like what we feel. Someone invited me yesterday to come to a new home and pray over the new home. We move into new homes. I did that recently with another family that moved into a new home. They just wanted all the old stuff, said goodbye to, and who knows, probably wonderful people that live there, but they may not have shared our values. They may never. You say, no, that's all that spiritual juju stuff. It may be, but you know what? If there's an opportunity for me to live in peace, if there's an, you call it feng shui if you want, you call it whatever you want to call it, whatever term you want to put on it, but hear me, relationships are spiritual. And people are spiritual beings. Even if they are not acknowledging that they are spiritual because man is tripart, body, soul, and spirit. So everywhere you go, your spirit goes with you. And if your spirit is nasty, you're leaving something behind. And we have the right to decide whether or not we're going to be attached to that, connected to that. That's why I don't allow people that are really negative to have very much of my time. Because I don't want to be connected to that. People that are consistently unkind to me, people that are consistently cussing in my direction, they don't get much of my time. Why? Because I just don't want to be connected to that. Not going to allow you to leave your spirit prints on me. Clean me off. Let me go. I leave all that behind because relationships have a lasting impact. Let me tell you another thing. Relationship choices are critical. Relationship choices are critical. Let me ask you a question. Where are you going? Follow-up question. Who can help you get there? Truth. We can't get directions from people who do not know where they are or where they are going. That's just truth in life. If I'm asking people who are lost how to get where I need to go, I'm going to end up lost as well. Got to find people that know where they're going. Proverbs 27 and 8, a mirror reflects a man's face. But what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Remember, deep is a decision, which means deeper relationships are a decision. How much time I got left? I don't have any time left. You got 5 minutes? 5 minutes, 5 minutes. Let me tell you how to get deeper relationships. How to decide and define if the relationships you're giving the best of your time to. And hear me, I'm not saying you don't have casual surface relationships in your life. I have many of them. Many of them. People that look all kinds of ways and live all kinds of lifestyles and do all kinds of things. I have all kinds of friends, very eclectic. I don't know, 900 or 1,000 contacts in my phone, and there's people from every walk of life, every stripe of life, wonderful, incredible friends, acquaintances, and all of that. But when we talk about our inner circle, when we talk about who has voice in our life, when we talk about someone who can call me and say, hey, this is what you need to know, and me actually listen versus saying, you know what, I would love to talk to you, but I don't have time right now. Let me call you back on the 12th of never, and I'll give you the opportunity to tell me whatever it is you're wanting to tell me. And then because I live in Georgia now, I say, and bless your heart. Let me ask this question. Number one, am I nurturing important relationships? Am I nurturing important relationships? Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So if you're only using people for what you can get from them, oh, we're not friends, they're just my 2 o'clock in the morning friend. Oh, we don't go to lunch, you know. We just, he said, you're devouring one another. You got to nurture important relationships. If people are always saying, why don't you ever call me? I'm busy. You know, that's a reason for everything nowadays. We're just busy. Am I nurturing important relationships? He's saying don't waste it. If you only have so much time, don't waste it on relationships that are not going anywhere. We've been friends since high school. That's great, good, nothing wrong with that. See you at the reunion. But I've got to nurture the important relationships in my life. Number two, am I severing, this is hard, am I severing harmful relationships? Am I cutting off harmful relationships? Thank God for caller ID. Because some of the contacts in my phone tell me who not to answer. And believe me or not, not long ago, called my phone and I saw the name pop up and I said, devil, not today. This is how I fight my battles, ignore. This is how I overcome, decline. Because you got to sever harmful relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33, I'll back it up with scripture. Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Proverbs 12:26, the godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray. 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? They always use that scripture to teach against interracial relationships. Foolishness. Hogwash. He's saying believer and unbeliever. How can two people walk together that way? You got to sever the harmful relationships in your life. Things that you know are not producing. Things you know that anything they and I would produce would not be right, so we might as well go our separate ways. Love each other from a distance. Good to see you. Hey, God bless you. Number three, am I initiating meaningful relationships? Is this helping anybody today? Deeper relationships. Am I initiating meaningful relationships? Proverbs 18:24, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. John 15:15, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. He said, we've cut covenant. We are forever connected to one another. You're not slaves. You're friends. We share in this relationship. You have input, I have input. You've got opinion, I've got opinion. You've got skin, I've got skin. We've come together and now we're in a relationship. I've got friends, I mean genuine friends, not acquaintances, genuine friends with whom I strongly disagree. But because there is so much value there, there may be an area or a point that we strongly disagree on, and we do. And we're vocal about it. They know where I stand. I know where they stand. But after we finish that and we get all the blood off of us, get some ice on our forehead, we can go to dinner and eat a cheeseburger because we're friends. And even them disagreeing adds value to my life, because there's people in my world who can say, your attitude is wrong. your spirit is wrong on this. You need to pray about this. Who in your life can tell you no? If you're always in charge, chances are you're not in deep relationships. If no one tells you no, it's not chances are, it's a guaranteed fact you're not in deep relationships. Nobody's gonna tell me what to do. I hope the word helps you today. Y'all ready for Tony Suarez to come back? Them little evangelists, they just get to get everybody excited. Pastor got to work. Here's the beauty of today. Today is small group sign up Sunday. You may not know where to begin sorting out or sorting through or healing your relationships, but you can get into community. James 5 said, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. I think we've always conflated that. We've probably disagreed with it because we think that James is saying, bring your sin, bring your faults to God. Cry them into an altar and leave them there. That's not what that verse is talking about. Confess your faults. I had someone not long ago that I pastored in Texas. And let me be careful because many of them contact me and tell me they listen to our podcast here, but contacted me since I've been living here that said, I need to be honest with you about something. Man, I hadn't talked to you in months. I know. I need to be honest with you about something that happened. Okay? Confessed something to me. Needed to get right about something. James 5. Let me confess my fault. Why? Because I need healing in my life. This is holding me up. This is stopping me from moving forward. This is keeping me from becoming who God has called me to be. So as hard as it is to make this phone call, and as much as I had to talk myself into even dialing the number, I feel so much better because I'm not keeping a secret any longer. That's what James was talking about. And that can happen in small group. Wait a minute, Pastor Darrell, you just turned me off because I don't want to come on Wednesday night and sit in a circle and confess to one another. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're doing. Please don't misunderstand. But when you get in relationship, because the truth is, I love you, but some of you show up late and leave early. And no one in your life ever has the opportunity to just put their hands on you and say, slow down a minute. Let's pray together. How are you? What's going on? You're doing okay? It's amazing how that little bit of interaction can change the course of our week. It's not good for man to be alone. Well, I can't find Eve. He's talking about more than Eve. It's more than romantic, physical relationships in your life. It's not good for man or woman to be an island who does not trust anyone, who cannot count on anyone. Get into a small group. You can come at 4:30 on Wednesdays and crochet with a gang of ladies. They're hilarious. They're hilarious. They keep trying to get me to join their group, but I'm just too young to crochet, okay? No offense. Marilyn mad at me right now. Those people have a blast in there. Many of them, not even from our church, they just come. It's community. It's a time to get together. God bless Nikki. I don't know where she is. She's been working on the same little piece of... It's that big. Is it longer than that? I don't think it's longer. Two semesters worth, and it's grown about a half inch. I think it's about more than the crochet, and I think she's enjoying the opportunity to connect with others. Got Bible study. Got any kind of small group you want. Sign up. Get involved. Get connected. And it's not for you. If it's not for you, no one's going to shame you. No one's going to call and bug you. Where are you? You missed last week. It's not that kind of pressure deal. Sign up. Check it out. Find out if it's for you or not. Father, I thank you today for people in this room. People who value relationships.